have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Impressed upon my heart for tonight. And we thank God for you who are out there listening. We pray that the word will fall on good ground tonight, just like we do every other night. Pray that it will help benefit someone. And that it will increase someone's faith. Pray that somebody get even a greater understanding to who God is and what God is capable of doing. Tonight, I want to talk about understanding the anointing, understanding the anointing. Now, you know, we hear a lot of different words come from church, and a lot of times, you know, we run into several different people, and sometimes we hear them say, you know, anointing this, anointing that, and various different things. The anointing, however, is a gift. It comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It comes through Christ, and it comes to do or perform. I don't know if I should say perform, even though it is a performance, but some people take that word performance out of context, because it's not nothing. It's not like a actual show or performance that some of your celebrities may do. Or when we say perform in this particular context, we realize that the Holy Spirit and the anointing performs God's agenda to do and to prove that God is in the midst. And what we mean by that is, what I mean by that is, even with the Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees in the day of Jesus, even going back to John 3, I think I touched on that a little bit last week, with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, when he approached Jesus, he said, "We know that thou art from God. We know that thou art from God, because no man can do the things that you do except God be with him." So they had seen Jesus on the move. They had seen Jesus going about doing good, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. They saw him healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. So they knew that by this going on and this happening, that Jesus had God's approval, the Father's approval. Because had he not had his approval, or had not the presence of God been with him, then that would not have taken place. So by us talking about the anointing, we realize that the anointing, and this is scriptural, I believe it's somewhere in Isaiah, where he talks about the anointing. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. The yoke is something a spirit or a stronghold that may have someone bound, whether it be a sickness, whether it be an addiction, whether it be mentally, physically, spiritually, or, hey, even financially. The anointing that breaks the yoke. Now, we're going to start off at 1 John. And Father, in the name of Jesus, before we get started, in the name of Jesus, we come together thanking you for this, another opportunity to share upon your word, to break the bread of life. We ask, Father God, that everything be done in decency and in order. We thank you, Lord God, that our decrease, that you may give the increase. Bless the woman of God, our producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim, for being with us as well. Bless her family. Bless her household, God. Continue to lead and guide her and comfort her. And I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen her in the name of Jesus. She's a busy woman, God. Continue to keep her. Continue to give her strength. Continue to give her renewed strength In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. First John, that's where we're going to start. First John, and we'll start off at the second chapter. First John. Oh, Lord. Yes, second chapter. And we'll go pick up at the 20th verse. This probably will blow some people's mind right here, because some people don't tend to have that understanding, or don't have they don't have that understanding, because there's some that have not yet come into the knowledge of the truth, that there's some that have not yet received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that some that may have received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior but have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some things they have not yet matured into. And in the 20th verse it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie." There is certain things that when you're even being taught, and I've noticed this more times than once, there's certain things that even while you're being taught the Word of God, and I'm quite sure I'm not the only one that has stood there, experienced this. There are certain times that even while being taught, certain things can be said or certain things are said. I'll put it like that. And if you have spent any time with the Lord in prayer and reading and studying the scripture, you will know that while they are yet speaking or while they are yet teaching, the Holy Spirit will bring a check to your spirit to let you know that whatever they said, if it was wrong, if it didn't line up with the Word of God, if it didn't line up with the Spirit of God, it will check you in your spirit. Spirit will let you know that right there was not right. That was incorrect. Now, a lot of times you will not get into a debate about such things. But sometimes came back home and picked up the Word myself and went through what it was they was talking about. And I was like, yeah, Lord, thank you. I thought they was out there, but now I'm sure that, yeah, they missed it right there. So basically what the Word is saying there is basically what Jesus said: "I would not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, and the Comforter will lead you and guide you into all truths." And then he said that the Comforter will also bring all things back to your remembrance. Now he said he will teach you all truths. So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, he will teach you. He will teach you, and he will teach you himself. That was one of the first prophetic words that God gave to me as a babe in Christ. It told me, he said, "I'm going to prepare you, and I'm preparing you for the ministry." And the person that was giving the prophetic words, they said, they looked at me and said, "I think you know that." And then they looked again and said, "Oh, no, you know that." And they said, "Yeah, God says he's preparing you for the ministry, and God said he's going to teach you himself." So, oh my God. So, of course, by me receiving that word, hearing that word, I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic. I was excited. You know, God is going to teach me himself. But let me explain to you that sometimes when God says stuff like that, it sounds good the moment you hear it. But sometimes when the teaching goes on, it's not always a pleasant way to learn. However, you will learn, because what I have found out, and I've said this more times than once, and I know another guy, he teaches totally different from this. I'm not knocking that. He's got a whole lot more money than I got. He's written a whole lot more books than I have written. And he talks totally different about that, where he was saying something about God doesn't use pain to teach you. I totally disagree, because too many times I have learned something through pain. The thing about pain is, when pain comes, pain will, what do I want to say? Pain will cause you to remember. Yeah. Pain will cause you to remember what it is God is teaching you. It, without a shadow of a doubt, it will cause you to remember what it is you're being taught. I reminded of this movie once. I think it was based upon godly principles, but there was this guy. He was a king, and the king had a son, and the son was supposed to be the next king. Someone had shot the king with a bow and arrow, with an arrow, and they were saying that if the arrow had hit the bone and gone into the bone, to where it had touched the marrow of the bone, then when they removed that arrow, the king would die. So the first thing the king did was he summoned his son to come to him. And when the son got there, the first thing he did was haul off and hit him as hard as he could in the face. And the son looked at him and was like, "What is that?" He said, "I did that so that you will remember that you are the son of a king and that you are a king." So pain plays its part in teaching us. I don't know why I'm telling like this. Maybe somebody's going through something and they can't understand why they're going through this hardship. But pain, if you let patience do her good and perfect work, you will, you'll catch on. But anyway, he said in the 20th verse that you need not that you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I believe there's another scripture somewhere where it says you need not that men teach you anything, for you have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. Anyway, that is true. The Holy Ghost is here to teach you. And then he says in the 21st verse, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." How is it that we believe lies when we know truth? I mean, we're dealing with situations right now in our country and stuff. We've seen lies and knew it was a lie, but still went ahead and embraced the lie instead of the truth. Let me move on. Because if you really had the Holy Ghost, you can look at a thing, or you can look at a person, and you keep seeing a repetitive lie, 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 lie. At some point, you got to say, you know what? Let me if I'm really born again Christian, let me let that go. Let me let that go. See some people will say anything, knowing that they don't believe the same thing that you believe, but because they need your support, they'll go ahead and say that they believe the exact same thing that you believe, knowing good and well they're like way out there in the left field, all by themselves. They got their own hidden agenda. They got their whole own plan. But because they need you, they'll say, "Yeah, I believe the same way you believe. I feel the same way you believe." But you they'll probably even break it down and say, "The Bible is my favorite book." And then you ask them, "What's your favorite verse?" "Oh no, I think that's personal. I don't want to get into that." And we hear it and we buy it. immediately in our mind we should say, well, don't worry, he seems like he's ashamed of the Bible. Seems like he's ashamed of the truth. And we know the Bible says that Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. I mean, sometimes we see all kind of red flags, but we ignore it because it's what our flesh desires. Let's move on. He said, I have not written unto you because you know the truth. He said, because you know not, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it. If I had just been writing this to you because you don't know the truth, then I'd be wasting my time, basically, is what he's saying. He said, but I'm writing this letter to you because I know you know the truth and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Now, I touched on this a little bit last week because I'm seeing things that's really not new. Seems to be new, but not new. And I understand why the Bible said there's no new thing under the sun, because some things just take on a different name, but have the same principle, have the same beliefs. Certain different religions still have the same same beliefs. Still have the same religion, but it might be a different name. And a lot of times, as when you run across certain things like that, and it never touches or talk about Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus being the Savior, Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus being the only mediator between man and God, when you run across stuff like that, and Jesus is not the forefront of it, bless God. That's a lot, because they're denying the Father and they're denying the Son. Some only want to deny the Son. They want the Father, but they only want to deny the Son. But the Bible tells us that whosoever denies the Son denies the Father. That's where we're going now. Verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same have not the Father. But he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. So why are we talking about this? When we're talking about the anointing, because without those two in total agreement in a person's life, the anointing won't be there. Now, I'll say that again. If the Father and the Son is not in total agreement in a person's life, the anointing will not be there. Because the anointing is actually the third head, what we call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, the Holy Ghost is what brings that from the supernatural into the natural. It's the Holy Ghost that brings the thing from the supernatural into the natural. See, the scripture tells us that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercessions for the saints. He's not down here on earth per se, by the Spirit. That's why he said it was expedient that he go away, because if he did not go away, the Holy Spirit would not come. The Holy Spirit, with Jesus being in the form of the man, he could not be everywhere at the same time to perform what needed to be performed, because he was in the form of man. But because he was on the right, because now he's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints, the Holy Spirit did come. A lot of us have received baptism of the Holy Spirit. So now it is by him and through him that we move and we have our being. So he's allowing us to carry this anointing to others so that they may be healed. Guess what? Benefit comes also by us being a carrier, not only that others may be healed through him, through us, but that also we might be healed. Okay? So, whosoever denies the Son, the same have not the Father. Powerless. But he that acknowledges the Son have not the Father also. Notice I said powerless. which means, or taking me back to where I think it's 1 Timothy, where he said that the time will come that people will not always endure sound doctrine. They will take on a form of godliness. They'll wear robes. They'll put on rings. They'll put on crosses. They'll put on, you know, the turbans, the hats. They'll do the chants. They'll take on the form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. In other words, they will not partake in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, when you baptize or become baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwells within you, which is the Spirit of truth. And when he's dwelling within you, he will let you know without a shadow of doubt what is a lie and that which is of a truth, which is of truth. And a lot of people, because they want to hold on to certain different things, they want to deny the Spirit of God. They want to deny the power thereof. So because they deny the power thereof, because they deny the Son, there is no evidence of power going on in that person's life. That's why Paul, when he showed up, Paul said, I don't come to you with eloquence of speech. I don't come to you with eloquence of speech. He said, but I come to you with demonstration of power. See, that's why he started talking about, if you show me your faith, if that's hard for me to show you my faith, if there's no works coming behind it. He was a man of great faith, yes, but he was anointed. And because he was anointed and because of his faith, acted one with another, there were signs and wonders who followed, or what followed him, because of who he was in Christ. In the 24th verse, it says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Again, it is so important for us to continue. A lot of people don't think you're supposed to continue. They think, you know, you're supposed to do like we did when we were playing jump rope with the kid growing up. You know how you used to stand there and you had two people on each end. Maybe turning and you have to wait and you're trying to time it just right. But you know what I'm talking about. I wish I was on video instead of just the audio. But you got your hands and you just timing it just right so that you can just jump in just right. Well, that's what a lot of the saints want. They want to jump in and they want to take about 10 jumps with the Lord or whatever. And then they want to jump back out and do their thing. And then they want to come back and, you know, jump, you know, time again. Time it so they can jump back in right. Hey, come on. In now, y'all. We're in the end now. The time is winding up to where, you know, we can't be like the 10 virgins. 5 was wise and the other 5 was foolish. The 5 of them, they kept their lanterns full of oil, kept the wicks trimmed. And the other 5, they did something foolish. But then when the time came, the 5 foolish wanted to come over to them and get some oil and get their wicks trimmed and all that. The 5 wise was like, no, it's too late for that because the master is coming. The master is coming. I can't be stressed any more urgency to you, to myself, that, you know, if you have not been saved, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in other tongues of the Spirit of God, give forth the utterance, now is the time. He said in the 24th, let what you have heard, what you have believed, what you have received from the beginning, continue in the Son and in the Father. It's like I was just saying, you don't have both of them abiding within you. And you can't have one without the other. There would not be any anointing. There would not be any anointing. There won't be any power there because the third person of Godhead will not be there. 26 says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. He said, I'm writing these things because of those who are out here trying to seduce you, trying to make you believe a lie, trying to make you be persuaded to leave the truth that you once knew. I'm reconfirming basically what he's saying. I'm reconfirming the truth that you have is actually the truth. So don't be deceived by soothsayers. By those, he said, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not exit, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even has taught, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is born of him. And now little children, abide in him. Abide in him. Because the main is you want to keep abiding in him. But when he do appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before his coming. If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So we have got through that part of 1 John 2. I went through 1 John 2 down through the 20th verse down through the 27th verse. And very important that we know what it is that what it is we have access. What we have access to, what belongs to us, what is our inheritance, and the anointing, like I said, which breaks the yoke. It is our inheritance. It is something that belongs to us. The scripture also says that healing is the children's bread. Let's look at James 4. James 4, starting at the second verse. Okay, it says, ye lust and have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight a war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Third verse says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We're still talking about healing. And in James 4, 2, he talks about the lust, or the lust of the flesh. He talks about why the healing don't always take place. So you mean to tell me there's times that we pray and we ask for healing and it don't happen? Yes. Do we ever ask or wonder why it don't happen? Yes. Do we ever get the answer to that question? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't want to receive what the answer is, but here's the answer right here. In James 4, the second verse, he says, you love lust and you have not. You kill. Now, we might say, well, when did I kill? I don't remember killing nobody. Ask yourself, what have you said against somebody? Ask yourself, whose character did you kill? Ask yourself, whose you may have killed that was anointed of God. Ask yourself whose character that you may have killed not knowingly, but because you heard somebody else say it, you repeated it because you believed it would, you believed it to be true. So maybe at one time or another, we all have been guilty of it. One time or another, killing somebody's character, somebody's witness, killing somebody's testimony. It's just very important that we watch the words that we allow to come out of our mouth, because there's certain things that we can say and can't say, or certain things that we do or don't do that can hinder the prayer, that can hinder our prayers. I remember sharing with one of my brothers who was having some kind of problem with his marital problem. And I was saying, man, you have to be careful how you treat your wife. Because the Bible tells us to treat her with due benevolence, order that our prayers not be hindered. There's certain things that we can run across and do, and then we don't understand why it is we're not having the effect that we've been praying and asking God to move in certain ways in our lives. He said, you desire to have and cannot obtain. Like we was just saying, sometimes we have a desire to be healed. Sometimes we have a desire to see others healed, but we can't obtain it because of different things that goes on in our lives. He said, you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Just as I was just reading this, he brought back to my remembrance time that the children of Israel was fighting with someone, and Israel knew that they had far more men than this other little country that they was coming up against. They told Joshua, "Nah, we're taking them over real easy. We don't have to send but X number of men, and we can wipe them out." Well, it was a war. And Joshua and his men kept getting whipped. They kept getting whipped. So the scripture right there saying is, you fight and war, and you have not. You have not because you ask not. What was it? Or what is it that we don't ask? Sometimes we go through different wars. Sometimes we go through different battles, and we don't stop and take self-inventory with God to find out, okay, God, what is it? Why is it that I keep losing this battle? Because, see, that's what Joshua did. Joshua went back to God and said, listen, we got these people outnumbered. You done promised us the promised land. We trying to get to this promised land. And we keep losing the war. What's going on? And God spoke and said, there's sin in the camp. He said, get rid of the sin. I'm paraphrasing. Get rid of the sin, and everything will be all right. They search, and they find out that there was someone who got a hold to some things that they had won from the previous war. And God had told them to destroy everything, but instead of them destroying everything, there was this family that decided that they was going to keep this stuff. And because they decided to keep this thing, it was in the midst of the camp. A lot of people don't understand this, and they don't believe this. They say, God is just so good. But there are times that if we don't watch the company we keep, can be held accountable. Even though we don't know what it is they may be holding on to, what a cursed thing they may be holding on to. That's why you have to really be careful about the company that you keep. There's listen, I've gone through it. I've I've had to remove myself from people whom I dearly love because they had certain hang-ups, they had certain addictions, certain things. They just really might not have been an addiction. They just had made up in their mind they was going to do it their way. They didn't care what God thought about it. And I'm talking about people in ministry. They didn't care what God thought about it. They knew it was wrong, but they wasn't gonna hold. They was not. And God was like, "Listen, you gotta let go, because I've opened too many doors for you to walk into. And if this other person was with you, they gonna think, or other people are gonna think, you know what he's doing. He's attached to you, and because you're attached to him, you have not corrected him, and he's still doing what he's doing." And he's going to say, "You must be doing it too." And doors will begin to close. So I had to let that person go. Because you don't want the things of God to be contaminated with your good intentions. You thinking you can still help somebody come out of a certain thing, but you keep seeing them repeatedly going over and over and over and over again, and they have no desire to come out of what it is they're dealing with. So the time will come that if you want to actually still get the full blessings of God, if you still want the anointing to flow, if you still want people to get healed or delivered under your ministry, then sometimes you have to let certain things, certain people go. It's just that simple. Third verse says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." You do that you may consume it upon your lust. Let me do that in the NIV version. Third verse, it says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives." Wrong motives. Wrong motives. Wrong motives. And sometimes we praying and we asking God to heal a person, deliver a person, and we want to be seen so that others can see that, you know, the power of God is flowing through us, and that others will, you know, maybe want to call us to come there and whatnot, what have you, have the wrong motives. Or, you know, you see the power of God move through me, so now I want to be able to have a $500 prayer line, $100 prayer line, a $250 prayer line. Wrong motives. Wrong motives. That you may spend that, or spend what you get on your pleasures. We have to be careful what our plans are, what our agendas are. Is your agenda, is your purpose lining up with the purpose of God? Because if it's not, you, hey, it may work for a little while, but showtime will be over. Showtime will be over. We must like God desires. Those who worship God, they must worship him in spirit. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. I want to go down to that fourth verse. It says, "You adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Sometimes we're too far over into the things of the world. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes we're too far over into the things of the world. Now, he named adulterers and adulteresses. He said, doing those things, doing all kind of other things, stop right there. Because, see, even the Bible says that when you are a person, commit fornication or adultery, we sin, not only sin, but we sin against our own bodies. So, therefore, that's why we have to deal with what we call STDs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to deal with that. those things. See, some people just get it all twisted. You know, God is so good. God is so merciful, and He is. God is so loving. God is so kind, and He is. But God also He's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. And the thing about it is that He chastens those whom He loves. So you know to do good, and those that know to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So therefore, when we practice such things, the anointing gets diluted. Even your protection gets diluted, and you're opening doors to where other spirits can come in. I know I'm talking like, you know, probably like Chinese or something, somebody else. But anyway, what I'm saying is true. What I'm saying is true. And if we become, the Bible said now right here, if we become a friendship to the world, that we become enmity with God, and whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So basically, what we need to do and what we have to do is stay in constant contact, stay in constant relationship with the Father. It's just like the scripture says, hide His word in your heart that we may not sin against God. I know I'm teaching right. Hide His word in your heart that you may not sin against God. Because continuously, you don't want God to start looking at you as His enemy. He wants to see you as His child. He wants to see that blood of Jesus still on you. So we have to walk upright. And the reason why we need to walk upright is because He said He will not withhold any one good thing from those who walk upright. From those who walk upright, He will not withhold any one good thing. Any one good thing. James 14. My bad, John. I looked at that wrong. John 14. 12. John 14 and 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Remember, I said he's standing at the right hand. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. And 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatsoever, it don't matter what it is, whatsoever we ask in His name, I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now the problem is, and I've learned this because He kind of like gave me a little one-on-one on it, the problem is that a lot of times we read this, we understand this, but we don't put our faith to this. I'll say that again. A lot of times we believe this, we say this, but we really don't believe this. And the way He proved that to me was back when the coronavirus first hit. And he showed me in Psalm 91 where he said, no pestilence. And that's what this COVID thing is or was. No pestilence or no plague shall come nigh thee, nor thy dwelling place. So then he started teaching me how to decree that thing. Because the word said, decree a thing, and whatsoever you decree, it shall be established. Whatsoever. It don't matter what it is. Decree it. And it shall be established. And in His name, He said, He would do it. and the Father will be glorified in the Son. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's twice he said it in two verses. And then he said in the 15th verse, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's what we were talking about this earlier, the anointing, the Holy Ghost, that he will abide with you, for you, forever. 17th verse, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You must be born again to receive the Spirit of truth, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, if you're still in this world, if you are enmity unto God, you cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. Now, the reason why he said and shall be in you was because at that particular time that he was talking, the Holy Ghost was not yet given unto man. It was resting on man. It wasn't a way for it to dwell in man until Jesus went back to the Father. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. So we're still talking about Spirit of truth, the anointing, how he dwells within you, and how God wants you to, how he wants to use you to be a living sacrifice that you might be able to show others about the Father through the Son by releasing the anointing that others may be healed. Quick testimony. Last week we was at church, I think it was Sunday or Thursday. I believe it may have been last Thursday. Young lady came up. Her aunt had just received bad news concerning cancer, had cancer. The doctor saw cancer. She came up. She said she wanted to stand in proxy for her aunt and have us pray. We began to lay hands on her. We prayed that God would remove the cancer, that she'd be healed, that she would be delivered the whole 9 yards, that God would make her whole. And lo and behold, that was Thursday night before last that we got the report. And then just last night, as we met again, the lady came in with an awesome report, a different report, a great testimony than her aunt, and went back to the doctor, and the doctor could not find any cancer. The cancer was gone. It was removed. God had moved by his Spirit and healed her aunt through the power of prayer, through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost. So we just thank God that God's still on the throne. He still heals. He still delivers. He still makes whole in Jesus' name. So if you're under the sound of my voice, you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that he died for your sins, and you believe that on the third day God raised him from the dead, the Word of God said, you shall be saved. So if you'd like to be saved, if you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, just repeat after me right now. Heavenly Father, come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. And I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And I want you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Save me. I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life from this day forward. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me. By your grace, I confess it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you pray that prayer with me, you can reach me on Snapchat, you can reach me on Facebook, you can reach me on Instagram, you can reach me under the name Brian Blastingay. If you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you. You need a church somewhere. If you're in the Greenville area, we can help you. If you're outside of Greenville, anywhere else, We can pray with you and pray for you that you find a good Bible believing church where the Spirit of God is rest ruling about it. Until then, we thank you for listening. We pray that everything or whatever you do it in decency and in order, but for most parts and most of all, do it for his glory. Dr. Kimmy Kim, we love you. We appreciate you. Will you take us out? God bless you. Amen.
For it's only you gave me love.